Just to advise you that I've just been informed by someone on the chat that all of the 33 buses will have wheelchair access facilities.
I was about to interrupt and tell you that, Peter, that in the news I did read that the new buses have air conditioning, cameras, GPS, and wheelchair access via the slides. Yeah.
All right.
I was waiting on the conversation
to wrap up.
To wrap, yeah.
Thank you for that intervention. Unfortunately, I went outside during the news to warm up, so I missed that point. So you heard that, ma'am?
I didn't hear all of it.
Right. So Dennis is saying that all of the buses, not only will you have wheelchair access, you will have air conditioning and the works. So but not only will you be able to get on the bus, you'll be able to sit comfortably without sweating like a pig.
More important than that, those we need to know that the buses have a schedule. For example, if I live where I live in Whitehall, I would like to know that.
In Whitehall too?
Yes, just down the road from you.
Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah.
I would like to know that at 10 o'clock, a bus will pass and I will be at the bus stop waiting.
Yeah.
So I hope there'll be some kind of a schedule so that people know that if I live in St. Lucie, that I can get a bus at such and such a time to go to town and I can get one to come back home. When I was a child, my grandmother used to put me on the 6 o'clock bus.
To come home,
and when I was going on holiday, I'd get on the 4 o'clock bus to go to Josie Hill. Why can't we have this kind of...
No, I mean, what we're going to do seems to be one better, because as much as the buses are GPS-enabled, you will be able to sit on your phone and track the arrival of the bus, and when it gets to the top of Whitehall, you can start to make your way out to the bus stop. So that by the time it gets to you, you are fresh there waiting for it. So the GPS facility, in a sense, is better than a schedule because it allows you to know where the bus is at every point in time. So if you can see it left town late, you can track it all the way up to Whitehall. And I should tell you, ma'am, that my house is also disabled friendly. So you're welcome to come over and have a drink and enjoy the view anytime.
I know, because I can't tell you every time I pass there, I think, oh my God, what a beautiful view.
Anyway, there's another question I wanted. Go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. Now, this thing about plastics and that, I find that we're getting a lot of disjointed information. For example, when I ask people, what you do about your plastic? We don't do anything. We put it in the garbage because... Now, you don't get anything if you take it anywhere, so you have to spend money on gasoline. But I wonder, don't the places, I know bees will pick up, but is there a certain range area in which they pick up only, and don't anybody else pick up?
Apparently, Dennis is now, I believe, is speaking to me in this regard. Sorry.
I want to know as well about TVs and TV monitors. I've got a pen that I want to write down because people will say, oh, that was on the radio recently. Yes, but you can't tell me who to call I can get pick them up.
Apparently, the recyclers, which would have been Jose, they had a facility where they were picking up stuff. Basically, they would put a bin and they would collect it from certain communities. To the best of my knowledge, Whitehall was not on that list, right?
But
as it stands now, we can deposit plastics at the depository in the car park of, the car park in Warrens, which is the big supermarket.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Supercenter, Massey, right?
All right.
There's a depository for tins, for plastics. And I believe for paper in limited quantities. So it's a big, like a trailer that has, you know, aluminum and so on. And you can, for bottles, right. It was bottles, plastics, and cans. Those are the three things that there's a depository for.
Well, so, I would like these companies to get together and put out a leaflet where everybody can know who is where collecting what.
The challenge, ma'am, is that, as I understand it, the cost of the plastic, the redemptive cost, in other words, the benefit financially to you is so small that they are not in a position to provide a collection, because ultimately the person who is driving to collect it would end up spending more money. So what has happened is that we've come to a point now where we are saying to people, if we provide facilities in different neighborhoods, like, for example, right. if there was one by the Whitehall Methodist Church, would people then come and drop their plastics off? My sense is that Barbadians seem to respond well to those things, even if there's no financial benefit, because we instinctively seem to want to take care of our economy, our country.
Right.
So that to me would be a suggestion that I think makes a lot of sense, to have more depositories similar to the ones that Warren has in Supercenter Warren's, to have more depositories for other kinds of collectibles as well, like paper. I would think it would make sense to have a depository for one of those as well, and then the other different products that we have. Sorry, ma'am?
But I still want them to get together and put out a leaflet. Okay. Leaflets everywhere telling people where they can take their different, plastics, bottles and the lot. Well, you've told me now there's one in Warrens. But what happened if I live in St. Joseph?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that the idea of having neighborhood facilities is important, that we need to have facilities in different neighborhoods.
Right, but they have to let people know, because some people are very willing, but they say, well, I don't know where to take them.
I mean, something like wood, for example, sometimes people have a large quantity of wood that they want to throw away, and there's nowhere to get it. So ultimately, all of this ends up in the waiting on the garbage, people to come and collect it. And my feeling is that if we had accessible depositories in different neighborhoods, and it was advertised, as you said, people would probably carry the stuff there, and that would reduce the dependency on the thing. The other thing is biodegradables, like food waste and food scraps and so on. You throw that, or you throw it in the garden?
Well, I don't really have any, because I don't eat. The dog will eat, and when the dog doesn't eat, the birds come and pick.
Okay, yeah. Which is the old-fashioned way of recycling. I've started a project with kitchen scraps, vegetable scraps. As you know, I don't consume meat. Dennis just reminded me that if I'm inviting you over, it can't be for sauce. But everything else is on the menu.
That's all right. I don't cook meat. I cook meat for my dogs, but not for myself.
But what I was saying is that I've been trying to not throw that stuff into the garbage, but, put it into the freezer and then kind of like make a bin. In composting, it's called, in the yard. With the smell can be a bit troublesome sometimes, and then of course if you compost things that rats will eat, sometimes that is also a bit of a challenge. But by and large, there's nothing a good cat wouldn't take care of. You can do composting in the yard, and that helps to take care of like garden waste and stuff like that.
I'm not able to do that.
Well, no, I appreciate that with you is a little different. But the majority of people around you who are able-bodied can reduce their output to the Sanitation Service Authority in that way.
Yeah, but I still think that this garbage thing should be taken seriously. As I said, I find that it's very disjointed. You hear a bit here and a bit there. The same way we have a water program, have one for the garbage and explain to people every week, this you take here, this you take there, you can do this, you can do that. And it would be helpful, because then when you ask somebody, where do you take yours? They can answer and say, I take mine to so-and-so, instead of saying, I have this.
Yeah.
You don't get anything for it or whatever, I just throw it in the garbage. Yeah. No.
Agree.
Yeah. So that's it.
Okay. Ma'am, it was good chatting with you. I thank you for calling. I think that we had certainly a far more productive conversation than the two that preceded it. So I want to thank you for calling, taking us away from the politics for a while, and speaking about some important stuff. And I do hope that I'll be seeing you in the not-too-distant future for that much-promised drink without Pickford sauce. Take care, and thanks for calling. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, how are you doing, ma'am?
Best wishes.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah. This Sandy?
Yes.
Okay. How are you going? Happy New Year to you.
My days with you.
Yes, true. I miss hearing you.
when you were away, I was like scrambling. So I'm glad
you're back. There's nobody that loves to talk about education as much as I do, eh?
And me too. That's why I like to speak to you. Now, I just wanted to know if you have done anything about the new, what should I say, assessment for if we do not go with common entrance. I have done mine, Peter.
I thought the objective was to move towards continuous assessment, but not for the purposes of placement. So we're doing continuous assessment to establish the strengths and weaknesses, the interests of your children.
Right.
But the placement will be based on where they live.
I know that.
Yeah.
But I have done my own.
Okay, let's hear about
more
it.
More or less my synopsis. No, I can't go into that right now.
Oh, okay. Right.
But I just wanted to know if you gave it any thought, because I'm hoping that it is something coming.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, within another year to 2 years, and that we don't have to go through this and put children through this. But it brings me to this point, Peter. I have been evaluating children over the last week because it's a new school term. And I'm meeting children. I had some last week, Friday, 3 8-year-olds, boys, who cannot, they have a thing called dysgraphia.
Mm-hmm. I don't know I've if you know about that.
Yeah. Right. They cannot write.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do write, they write the words like it takes up the whole page. So it's not legible. They cannot read, period. And when I say period, I mean period. And I am wondering how these children in class one, so remember they're going up now to 2, 3, and 4. Yes, they hopefully won't have to sit common entrance. But even if they do, Peter, I'm still having an issue with the children who are like that. What are we doing besides me?
A child that has dysgraphia, can that child be taught to write, or the likelihood of that child being taught to write is low?
Yes, because unfortunately, he has a lot of other inabilities, okay? Because he was tested otherwise. But I'm saying at 8 years old, he now has to learn to write like a 5-year-old.
Could he write with the benefit of a tablet? Can he manage a tablet?
Can they
recognize the letters to press?
No, not really.
Not really?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
He does not know his alphabet. He skips. He has dyslexia also. He skips the letters in the alphabet. And I am saying those...
And he wouldn't be able to recognize a word?
No. Yeah. No.
But how would you normally respond to a child like that?
Well, Peter, this is my gut. If those children possibly had been seen earlier, and this is where I'm saying that schools, parents, if the parents don't know, they need to have those children evaluated as young as 5 years old, 8 years old, 2 years away, it's a common entrance. Okay? So, in truth and in fact, those children, I teach them one and one. And trust me, my children do very well. They do very well. You can see the progress within 6 months. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you have to obviously know and have the training. I did a program. You maybe didn't see it this morning on Morning Barbados. I'm doing a segment of literacy.
Okay.
Right?
Excellent. No, I didn't.
I started it this morning. I'm saying, she's calling you Shane from TV.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, 8 years old is a little to
it's
me.
It's late.
It's late.
Yeah.
Because besides having to learn to read, they have to learn to write.
Yeah.
So all they're doing
they're
doing two things all at the same time. How, okay, they have gone back to school this morning. They are in their classroom with 10 other children who have similar issues. And it goes back to my point I have been speaking to you about for the last 15 years. They will go to class 4 with that problem and have to write a common entrance exam.
Mm-hmm.
And those children then tend to show deviant behavior.
No, my sense is this. Look, when you pop out of the womb, right, invariably you're given a test within the first 24 hours.
Correct.
Right. And I don't have a whole lot of experience with babies, as you know. But the one I was involved in was given a test within hours or days of coming out. And the test verified that the certain expectations that the doctors would have had at that time in terms of reacting and so on suggested that the child was normal or, you know, was as expected. I would think that that strategy is a strategy that should be followed throughout the nursery and also into the school. So certainly within the child's arrival at primary school, one of the first things that should be done is there should be an assessment. Is the child's cognitive skills or whatever else you look for in education up to what can be expected of somebody who is a quote-unquote normal five-year-old? Or is it a child that perhaps requires special attention, right? When I went to primary school, that test was done with a strap, and they would ask you certain things, and if you couldn't respond, you get a lash. Mm-hmm. And usually your inability to get lots of lashes would indicate that you're pretty much close to normal. Thankfully, education has moved in a far more humane direction now,
right,
and that approach is no longer taken.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, when a child was misbehaving, when a child was distracted and causing a nuisance to other children in the class.
They said the child was bad behaved.
Right, precisely. And usually, you know, several floggings were the recipe.
But now that is considered HDH.
Precisely. It's now attention deficit disorder. And actually, before that, one of the things they started doing is giving us glasses.
Correct.
Because they realized that part of the reason that children were behaving badly because they couldn't see the board. So mm-hmm. we would all go to Enmore, which was Enmore in those days, to get eyes
tested, et cetera,
right,
et cetera.
So my sense is that if it is that we are moving in this direction, where we try to understand the nature of the problem we're dealing with, I would think that at 5, at 6, at 7, we should be doing these tests and we should be in a position to respond. I do agree with you, however, Sandy, that part of the challenge over the time is that you're preparing children for the 11 plus, and you know that from the time you get them at 5 and 6 years, they have to write that exam. So you are in this hustle to get them ready for the exam without saying, let me stop and think and let me assess this child and see if perhaps I am missing something, as opposed to saying, I can teach you ones that are learning well and the bad behavior ones, let me just beat them.
But that's what's happening.
So perhaps this exam can give us the opportunity to do that level of testing. I don't know about you, but I assume that every year you should be doing this level of assessment with children. And if you
every
can do them not all at one time, it would be even better, because then you can take your time and you can assess.
And right.
You know.
Give time.
Somebody is here saying that the Dyslexia Center should be able to assist students like these.
But it does. Peter, let me
stick up
in here. Mm. The problem with that, that's fine, but you have to pay
to go to
the Dyslexic Center for
mm-hmm.
an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Why I'm telling you this, Peter, a lot of the children that I work with or parents who come to me are children who really either not working or cannot afford.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them were really, I'm saying, I really, really angry, because if you do not catch these children now, at 16, we will be seeing that their names linked with something else that's negative.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what happens to those children who cannot pay you, all right, at the Dyslexic Center to get help, who cannot pay a clinical psychologist to go and have an evaluation done? They are really and truly, up fool's creek.
Yeah.
And if people like me, who are really passionate about these children, don't come forward and say, at least you can't change the world or help all. What happens, Peter? So I'm saying, I'm not seeing some circle of something to happen for these. Those are the children I'm concerned about. I don't want to see the high flyers. You see them every June before they go into the schools,
right,
the older secondary. I don't want to see them. Let us spend and pay some attention to the children who are not high flyers. And I have to congratulate Mia for giving out those scholarships starting next year to the children like colored.
In newer secondary school.
Like in the newer secondary, because those children need to be up front. And I have a really burning desire to, I don't know what form they can bring, that I would like to come to with other persons who feel the same passion that I have to come to help these children. I have a program I just started in one of the areas in town, right? obviously it's a volunteer program, and it's a few of us that help these little young people, right? And Peter, some of these children are wonderful children, you know? Wonderful children with creativity, but guess what? They're lost because nobody's taking them on.
Yeah.
They put them in a classroom and say, well, you can't learn. Stay at the back of the class. But to end, Peter, I am having a town hall meeting, and I am inviting you.
Okay, when is that, Matt?
It's the 23rd of March at the Black Rock Cultural Center at 7 p.m. Education, the road to the future. I will send you a flyer so you can see the...
All right, and logo. I will post it on my Facebook page.
I will try
to be there at that important meeting, give it as much exposure certainly as I can. I hear you, that if you're able now, if we have the benefit of not having the guillotine associated with 11 plus exam over our heads, and we have the opportunity to take a more leisurely look at the education of children, I think that can be one of the benefits. So you're very right that we need to seize the opportunity
the
time to do early testing and early evaluation and see if there are some early interventions
because those children will be, you, myself and you, I mean, in a few years' time.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do not do the groundwork now, crop over with smoke or pipe.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So I will thank you, Peter,
okay,
for hearing me today. Keep in touch with you.
And I hope that we will be able to chat again. Dennis is telling me that I can't be on the air more regularly than every other week for the time being. So unfortunately, we have to wait to choose this before you and I can have another conversation. But I hope that I'll hear you whenever I'm on. All right? He's smiling. Thanks a lot. This is Dr. Brastatz. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Sandy, it was good talking to you just now. Can you please WhatsApp me? I have the name of a lady who has some free time, and she has some skills in terms of reading with kids and would be happy to donate some of her time. So can you please just drop me a WhatsApp so that I can forward you this lady's name? And I want to thank the lady for offering her time. There are probably several people like her out there who are listening to this program that may be retired teachers and so on. That's the kind of thing that we need to have, where persons are willing to say, like, I'll give an hour or two to help a kid learn how to read. That can make a huge difference when you have that one-on-one interaction, and it really would make a whole difference. So yeah, if there's anyone else, be feel free. And Sandy, if you can, just please drop me a WhatsApp because I'm not seeing your contact information in my phone. I thought I had it, actually. Dr. Brastatz, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, yeah. Mr. Wickham.
Yes, good afternoon.
I'm a first-time caller.
Are you a first-time caller? Welcome to the program, ma'am.
Thank you.
I was led
to call because I was listening to Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, first of all, I thank her and persons like herself who have been out there in the trenches really rallying and supporting mm-hmm. children that are differently able or can learn in different ways, all mm. right? In 2012, my child, then he was in a regular primary school, and he was in reception. And I remember there was a young lady who came out, and she was speaking about challenges that children have with reading and whatnot. She really opened my eyes, because I knew something was wrong with my child, but I really couldn't put my finger on what exactly it was. She came from nursery. And they kept telling me, well, he wasn't paying attention in class, and he can't learn, and all these negative things. By reception, it was more of the same thing. But this young lady, long story short, she opened my eyes, and she did an assessment. I went to her office and whatnot, and that led me to taking her advice to heart, and I enrolled my child then in a private facility so that he can get the attention that he needed. Peter Wickham, I'm happy to say that the child with that particular hands-on and focused training, because these teachers are trained to deal with children like that, he was not only able to learn, but he was able to catch up with what it is that had been lacking from in the nursery years and the reception years. But he's operating a year behind, because that process took an entire year, all right?
Mm.
He did so well that we made a decision as a family to move him then from the private establishment back into regular school. He went into regular school in class one, even though he was 8 years old. he's supposed to be in class two, but based on where he is in terms of his learning, he was operating a year behind, so they put him in class one. Well, lo and behold, at the end of school, the first year that he did in the public school last year, September, he was promoted to class two. Mm-hmm. During the first term of September, the new term, the child was coming home and he's saying to me, "Mommy, I'm doing class three work." I said to him, "Well, no, you are in a new class. It's a new school in a new class. I know it's a new environment," and he probably doesn't understand that going to a new class doesn't mean that he's skipping the whole year.
Right, right.
Well, 2 weeks into the process, and he keeps coming home, and he's telling me this thing over and over, I decided to ask the question. So I sent a note to his class teacher asking her to let me know what is happening, because he's saying he's in class three and I know he's supposed to be in class two. Only to find out, the teacher called me the same day and said, "Ma'am, your child is in class three. I'm new to this school. I came into the school. I checked the register. I realized that based on your child's age, he's supposed to be in class three." So I took him to class three and that's where he is.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the principal of the school to find out what is happening, because his situation is known. If a teacher is new and doesn't know what's happening with the child, I can understand that and a correction can be made. Peter Wickham, today is what now? The 26th of January?
Mm-hmm.
27th? January?
Yeah.
My child is still in class three. He hasn't done class two. Understand, this child has not done the class 2 year. He went from class one, so they took him from class one, and he's now in class three. So he hasn't done class two work. He doesn't know anything about class two. But this child who has a challenge is being asked now to not only learn class three work, which is building on the foundation of class two, but to get ready for common entrance exam next year. That could be fair.
Yeah.
So I would like for Sandy or somebody to advise me as to what I am supposed to do.
But you said the facility is public or private?
It's public. We took him from the private because they were able to correct back into public, but he's a year behind.
Okay.